May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, the one we worship this blessed night. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. We always pray that that wonderful word would shine on your church. Give us faith, give us true repentance, and may we depart this night with great joy to follow you all our days. Bless now the preaching, teaching, the hearing, the receiving of your holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, Jesus. Say it with me. Happy birthday, Jesus. Tonight, Christmas Eve, we are remembering, we are celebrating not just one birthday of Jesus, and not just two, and not just three, but tonight, actually, we are remembering and celebrating four birthdays of Jesus. So, in honor of this, you should really give four times the presents that you give tonight. So you might want to scramble out of here. Not yet, okay. But go later and get four more times the presents, and you might receive four times the presents too. Four birthdays. Pastor Busher, what wacky idea is this you have tonight? Well, in the early church, way, way back in the early church, when they celebrated Christmas, often they would celebrate four birthdays of Jesus. And they would have church for four straight days over Christmas. We have it two straight days. They would have it four straight days every day celebrating a different birth of Jesus. So we're going to pack all that in tonight into one sermon. Four birthdays, all ears, all eyes, our thoughts, our minds, all on Jesus. And then we're really going to go home with peace and joy, ready to face life again. The first birthday is when he's begotten of the Father before all worlds, his birth in eternity from the Father. The second birth is he's born in Bethlehem. The third birth is he's born out of a tomb on Easter and rises again. And his fourth birth, very, very important, when he's born in our hearts in baptism and gives us faith. And he is truly ours and we are his. And if that doesn't really happen, then all the other three, what do they really mean to us? First of all, the first birthday, we say, Happy birthday, Jesus. He is the Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. We say that in the Nicene Creed, a fancy way of saying that Jesus is God. He's not just a mere human being. He's not a little cute baby. This is God Almighty. Again, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And the Son is begotten of the Father, a mystery, but he's born from the Father in eternity. Mystery. The point is tonight, the baby's God. The shepherds come and Joseph and Mary, and they see that little baby. Those are the eyes of God. The little ears of God Almighty. The hands of God. The feet of God. The face of God. The body of God, the hair of God, the cries of God, the wiggling of God, if you wiggle a little bit. God in the manger, and the first response of Christmas, you heard it, is fear. The glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds, and they are terrified, is a better translation. They're scared. This is God. And maybe we all need a little bit of that proper fear of the Almighty God who's come. Respect and awe. And trembling as a sinner in his presence, pleading for forgiveness. I read where Webster's dictionary says that the word of the year, the word of 2016, is the word surreal. A lot of commentators and so forth are using the word surreal. Trump being elected, surreal. The terror attacks are surreal. Surreal means they're not real, or they're unusual, or bizarre, hard to believe. Tonight in the church, we don't use the word surreal. We use the word real. God really became a baby. God was really born and lay in a manger. That's how much he loves us. God really died on a cross. God really rose again. And there is real forgiveness in Jesus. There is real salvation in Jesus. And there is real peace in Jesus. And there is real resurrection in Jesus and real life in Jesus. It's real. Not fairy tales and myths. Happy birthday, Jesus, the Son of God, begotten of the Father. The second birthday is the one we celebrate the most tonight. His humble birth, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And this would teach us that our God's a God of peace. The angels quickly announce peace on earth. Don't be afraid, they tell the shepherds. Don't be afraid, God comes in peace. God doesn't come to destroy you. God doesn't come to condemn you. The Son of Man did not come to condemn. The Son of Man came to save. He's come in peace. He's come to forgive sins. He's come to deliver you. He's come to make you His own again, that we live forever in heaven. Don't be afraid. He comes in peace. In the Old Testament, God often came in quite startling ways that scared people. The burning bush, God comes into Moses, which scared him a bit. Take off your sandals, Moses. You're a sinner. You're on holy ground. Probably scared Moses a bit. God led them through the desert with a cloud and a pillar of fire. Kind of scary, kind of distant. God appeared to Job in a whirlwind or a tornado, we might call it. That had to be pretty scary. God in a tornado. And of course, in the tabernacle worship, God appeared as a great shining cloud behind the curtain. Big curtain there in the tabernacle. And God in His great glory cloud back there. And only one person once a year could go back there. And that was the high priest. Once a year could go back there. Stay away. You're sinful. I'm holy. Keep your distance. Fear. But this night, God comes as a very vulnerable, harmless, little baby. I come in peace, He says. And we quickly go from the manger to a cross, where we see that God means it, this peace on earth, as He dies, nails and spear, crown of thorns, a whip. He dies for my sins and your sins, the sins of the world, to make peace with the Father, all sins forgiven. You know, I have to thank Doug Rodenbeck. He's here tonight. He called me the other day and told me something interesting. This is a true story. That how many of you are going to play Monopoly over the holidays, your Monopoly family? No one likes Monopoly. Okay, maybe another illustration might suit right now. I don't know. Anyway, he told me that the company that makes Monopoly, they actually have a hotline they've established. Because they're anticipating that families will fight over Monopoly. And they'll have arguments and they'll fight over the game of Monopoly. It takes so long. Who wouldn't fight, right? I don't fight as long as I win, okay? But they have a hotline set up so you can settle disputes in Monopoly. Isn't that sweet? Merry Christmas. Go have your Monopoly fight. It'll be settled by someone on a hotline. Crazy. Here's not what's crazy. Our biggest dispute, friend, our biggest fight, our biggest war is not with somebody out there. It's with God. We've offended God. We broke all the laws. We shook our fist at God and said, God, I'll do it my way. We're sinners. And we deserve hell. And that's a war. That's a fight. And no hotline is going to settle that one. But the Holy One, the Son of God on a cross, settles it. As He dies for our sins. And God says, I'm at peace. I forgive. Be reconciled to me. Don't ever think God doesn't love you, friend. And the third great birthday that we celebrate is His birth from the tomb on Easter. Born again, if you will, out of the tomb, Easter. We always have to go ahead from this night to Easter, don't we? And as we think about Easter, we learn that God is a God of power. Christmas, a God of peace. He comes in peace. Easter, He is a powerful God. He's not some weakling that we can step over, that can't really do anything, but He's awful nice. What a pathetic God that would be. He is a powerful God, and Easter proves it. He conquers sin. He conquers death. He conquers the devil. The victory is ours. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Our powerful God who's delivered us, that's Easter. We can't wait to get there in the spring, can we? And already at Christmas, Jesus shows his power, even though he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, it's so humble, lying in a manger, but he shows his great influence and power, doesn't he? For already he's drawing shepherds, and the angels come, a multitude, glory to God in the highest. Say it with me, glory to God in the highest. I mean, heaven comes already, is drawn. Here's the goal, here's the climax. We're going to be in heaven. He's going to get us there. Just you wait and see. Angels, shepherds, wise men come later. King Herod is so threatened, he tries to kill baby Jesus. Already has great influence and great power. And that power comes to a climax Easter morning when he rises from the dead as the holy King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw a magazine, a cover the other day, I think it was at Walgreens, and the cover, I forget the magazine, but it had on the cover 232 ways to have joy this Christmas. And I thought, you mean there's not 233 ways? There's only 232 ways? I better buy that and read that. Are we so out of joy that we really need 232 ways to find joy? Are we that unhappy? 232 ways? The Bible makes it quite simple. There's one way to joy. His name is Jesus. There's one way to true life. His name is Jesus. There's one way to forgiveness. His name is Jesus. There's one way to resurrection and glory. His name is Jesus. Stop searching, friend. The search is over for happiness and joy. Trust in Christ. Believe in Christ. Be baptized in the name of Christ and follow Christ. And then last of all, tonight we celebrate Him being born in our hearts in the waters of baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit. The other three are very, very important. They're all very, very true, but this is the real important. This is where it applies to us. How does it apply? He desires to be born in my heart and be my Lord, my Savior, my King. And that happens in baptism and continues in the ministry of the church, word and sacrament, that He continue to live in me and I in Him. And this would teach us that God's a very personal God. He's not in Bethlehem anymore, friends. He's not up in heaven tucked away somewhere taking a nap. He's right here. He's our Emmanuel. He's personal. A key word of the Christmas story is the word you. I bring you good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. You. That's each one of us. The Lord came for the whole world, and He also came for you. The Lord lived for the whole world, but He also lived for you. He lived a perfect life just for you, because you can't and I can't. When we're baptized and we have faith, that life's given to us, accounted to us. He died for the whole world. He also died for you. And every sin, even the really rotten ones that you hate, that give you guilt every night, He died for that one too, or those too. He rose again for the whole world. He also rose again for you. He forgives you. He loves you. He has saved you. Believe it, it's personal. Tonight's personal. And you have all this wonderful salvation applied to you when you're baptized. So if you're not baptized yet, talk to me. Talk about baptism. It's applied to you there. It's for you. Your children aren't baptized. Talk to me. Let's have them baptized. He comes in communion tomorrow morning. This is my body given for you, my blood shed for you. You have Jesus. You have Him in your heart, in your life. You're forgiven for you. If you're not confirmed, don't take communion. Talk to me. Love to teach you. Be confirmed to receive the body and blood of Jesus. Bring your children. Happy birthday, Jesus. Begotten of the Father before all worlds. Born in a manger. Born out of a tomb. May you ever be born and live in my heart. Happy birthday, Jesus. Amen. Let us rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.